Hey there, podcast listeners. If you're in central Pennsylvania, stay tuned at the end of the show for some important announcements about upcoming events. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Turn off every light in the house, one by one. Let the moon shine through the midnight sun. I ain't saying you have to go home. I just know you can't stay here. I got dreams to make, got no time for mistakes.
Mike McMonagle is a Lancaster, Pennsylvania native who didn't start playing music in the area until after spending a half dozen years in Baltimore and D.C., attending college and working in public relations. In the last year, Mike has returned to Lancaster to make quite a splash in the regional music scene. Performing on such coveted stages as the Chameleon Club and Philadelphia's World Cafe, Mike plays solo or with any number of friends, including members of the notable bands Slim Fit and Toy Soldiers. I caught up with Mike at the Candy Factory in March 2011 to talk about his journey and some of the tracks on his 6 and 4 EP. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Mike McMonagle. Welcome to Around the Wood Stove.
Thank you for having me.
So Mike is a Lancaster area native, but you didn't spend a whole lot of time here playing music until you got back, right?
Correct.
Tell me the story of moving away from Lancaster just briefly and then coming back. Like, what's the path you took there?
Sure. I spent my college years in Baltimore, and then following that, I moved home briefly, caught a job down in the D.C. area, and moved down there. I was working at a public relations firm, and music was a hobby. It was a pastime. It was I played in my room at night and tried not to wake my roommates up type of deal. I got laid off from that job, unfortunately or fortunately. And it was actually there was a moment, and I may have been drinking at the time, but I remember calling my parents up, and my mom brought this to my attention not so long ago, and she said that she reminded me of this phone call that we had, and I had just gotten laid off, and it was my first time being told, like, you can't work here, and here's a box, go clean your desk off now.
Right.
It sucked. But she told me that I called, and I had this, like, I guess, strength in my voice and assertiveness that I said, you know what, I'm not going to find a new job. I'm going to write some songs and work at a bar. And I'm going to make it work. I'm going to pay my bills, and I'm going to feel this out. I'd rather be 40 and having failed than to be 40 and have never tried it at all. So that was, I guess, a pivotal moment for me. And I kind of just started writing. And but when I was living, I lived there for 2 years, and I played at some open mic nights. I made it out to an open mic night at Jam in Java, which is a pretty big club down that way. And unleashed a few new songs. I guess a formula. I would play a recognizable song, a song that is awesome that people probably don't know that I could probably pass off as my own. and then I'd wrap it off with one of my own. So it was always like a 3-song thing. But then I reached a point where I was like, you know, my time down there had run its course. Like, literally exactly 2 years. I moved home on the same weekend I moved away at Thanksgiving. So it was exactly 2 years, and I came home, and you know, I had this arsenal of songs that were inspired by my, you know, just being down there and being away from people. Homesickness was a big theme for me. And the whole transition, the moving from back and forth, like that weighed on me a lot. I've written a few songs about it now.
And that resulted in the 6 and 4 EP?
Correct.
And that's interesting because, not knowing the backstory and just listening to these songs, there's a real, I think in every song that I listened to and I made notes about, loneliness, this haunting sort of loneliness came through as far as the sound. So that's interesting to hear that backstory and reconcile
and
that.
But I also try to parallel that, I guess, or follow up that with in my songwriting, I'm not the best at like charting out a song as far as verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus. So, but when I did learn how to do a bridge, a lot of them did end up having the almost like a turn, like a hopeful turn of sorts. And so even when you have that like kind of down moments, you mm-hmm. you find a way to have a positive outlook on it, I guess.
Let's talk about the song Running Scared.
Okay.
And, you know, there's one of the cool things about this collection of songs is you've got the guitar and the voice, and then each song like has this extra instrument. And this one's got this electric guitar part that I think is really cool.
Which is actually my acoustic guitar with just an electric effect on it.
Oh, is that right?
through GarageBand.
It sounds great. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool.
I was a fan of the wild card approach. You got that toy piano in there a few times.
The banjo on the
banjo on the Goodbye ones. Virginia. But Running Scared.
Yeah, let's talk about that song a little bit. Break it down for me.
That song was written when I first moved to Virginia. It's funny to think about. I never really think about this kind of stuff at all. So I'm glad you're asking me these things. When I first moved to Virginia, I moved right after Thanksgiving, and at Thanksgiving in 2007, I met my good friend's aunt and uncle, who I told my friend that I got this job in Reston, Virginia. She's like, "Oh, my aunt and uncle live there. You should live with them." I'm like, okay. And so they were in town for Thanksgiving, so I went and met them, and I moved in with them 4 days later, which was interesting enough. But they're both retired, no kids. They're happy to have someone else in the house. They have very active lifestyles. They, you know, they gave me a key and they gave some ground rules, whatever. So they their house was, well, I was lucky in that I could go into the basement, and we even did a test. Like, I went into the basement and just like played my guitar and sang as loud as I could, and they couldn't hear a lick of it upstairs.
Nice.
From their bedroom. So it was good for me to know that I could go down. Like, I've become somewhat of a night owl, which I'm sure you might have noticed from our conversation so far, that I'll do a lot of my writing at night. And honest to God, it's almost embarrassing to say this, but that song I wrote with almost like it should be in a movie or something. I had a scene in my head of when it would be playing, like some boyfriend that's driving and at night in the rain, and he's like mulling over some sort of detail in his head about the girl they just left. And then like when it gets to that bridge and turns around is when he's turning the car around and going back. And I have this whole like romantic scene in my head. And that's kind of where that song came from.
Well, the one concept that I thought was really cool in that is the line, "Everyone's lost in their own way."
Yeah, I just came to realize that everyone's bothered by something.
Yeah.
And I think our lifestyle, our society, a lot of the conflict that exists is just the lack of caring about what's bothering someone else. It's a natural human inclination to care about yourself first before others. But you know, if you could level on the idea that everyone's troubled by something, bigger or small. I mean, I'm not going to say that my problems are as worrisome as someone who's suffering from terminal cancer or something like that. Like, everyone's got problems, but they're all our own problems. And I think that if we came to grips with that, it would make for a much more pleasant society.
See you running down that road, running scared, is that coming after you? It's not uncommon to feel alone, running scared, is that breathing down your neck? Wait for the sun, break of day, carry you off your fears away. You're feeling
The song Been a Long Time, the wild card instrument on that track is the slide guitar.
Yeah, that was my first and last endeavor with the slide guitar. I don't even know where the slide came from. I think I stole it from my brother at some point. It's one of those bottleneck slides, so it's like kind of like, I don't know, it's like indented a little bit. It's really finicky, and I don't know what I was doing with it. But I did manage to get one cool like riff out of it that's like right where the song kind of turns from that opening part. It's like a down to descending kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just cut and copied that. I knew I couldn't do it again. So I just, that's where technology has played a favor in
that's the magic of the tools we have.
Totally. Right? So I took that and just figured out, and thank God it worked. So I just duplicated it and put it in other parts of the song. But yeah, the slide guitar, that was a new venture for me. Like, I can mark that one off the list of
your bucket list of instruments you're going to
exactly,
play?
Exactly. That's what this EP was. How many instruments can I try?
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Mike McMonagle, a Lancaster area singer and songwriter. Speaking of interesting instruments, on the song Copycat, there is the appearance of what I'm assuming is some sort of a toy piano.
My favorite eBay purchase to this day.
This song takes a bit of a turn from the other songs.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about that song and what's behind it.
When I play live, I actually couple Been a Long Time and Copycat together so that it starts off slow, and thematically they're kind of similar.
Mm.
Copycat actually started off as kind of an interesting take on just kind of judging myself. I wrote that about myself. I just found myself, I'd moved into this new area that's a little faster paced, a lot of a different sort of people than you find around here. They're quick to get your business card, and just I found myself assimilating way too quickly, and getting becoming in part of that.
Yeah.
Like, because I wanted to, you're in a new area and you don't know anyone, so you want to make friends as quickly as possible and find someone that you can come to.
Yeah, right.
Find similarities with. And I just found myself doing it way too quickly. And I was, it's like, it was my, kind of take a step back and be like, what's the point? Be yourself. Why wait for that next best thing to come along when you can enjoy, if you have, at the time, the best thing in front of you? So it was almost a reminder to myself to live a day at a time instead of always looking ahead to how I can be in fashion or the fads or whatever that's going on at the time.
Or trying to adapt to the where you are.
Mm-hmm. And adapting is good. You need to adapt. But I just found myself doing it in a way that wasn't pleasing to my, I don't know, who I am. I was losing who I was and becoming just a product of the area.
There's an interesting bridge breakdown in that song.
Mm-hmm.
It gets ambient.
That was another sonic experiment.
It's great. It came out very well.
Thank you. I was and still, I guess, I'm a big fan of the Fleet Foxes, and it was more just like, how do they do that? Like, a lot of this stuff, I know it's reverb heavy stuff,
yeah,
but
sure.
It was like beautiful. It was like almost like ethereal, celestial kind of like tones. And I did like a three-part harmony there, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do, and I thought it was a good turn for just like especially with the words, hold your head up and see the sun. So it was kind of just like, I'm a big metaphor guy. I like visual, imaginative words, and I'm a writer for my day job. So like, I like to really choose the words I'm thinking mm-hmm. and do it purposely. And with that, like you get that heavenly kind of sound yeah. and couple it with words that are saying look up, and it just kind of had, I don't know, it fit to me, and it was, I never planned that from the beginning of the song. I was just, again, in the basement, I was like, yeah, I could try something new out here.
Disillusioned and confused, I wouldn't want to be caught in your shoes. Paradox or paradigm, you just want to be like something right. It's a crazy, crazy world. We can be more than just boys and girls who wait around for the next best thing to come along.
The standout track in this collection of songs is Goodbye Virginia. From the first time that I listened to the record, mm-hmm. that was the one that made me stop. Because I'll just put something on and as I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And when something catches my ear, then I go back to it and say, well, what's going on here? And I'm mm-hmm. like, and that was the one. Now, since then, several of the songs have really grown, you know, to where I really, really like them. But that one in particular instantly jumped out. Wild card instrument on this one is the banjo, which it's a great part.
Thank you.
Talk about this song. There's a few lines I want to dig into a little bit, but talk about the song and the banjo. Are you a banjo player?
I have.
But this was you. I wasn't sure if you.
No,
had guessed.
No. I traveled down. Do you remember there's a band Percussy?
Oh yeah.
When I was living in Virginia, those are friends of mine, and they were playing. They had a show in Knoxville and a follow-up show in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go down there, and I was working at a restaurant, so I was like, you know what? I don't want to work this weekend, and I just got in the car and drove down. At that time, I hadn't really met. I'd met some of them through my brother and stuff, but I basically showed up at one of their shows and was like, hey, I talked to you kind of, and I'm here to hang out for the next couple of days. And I just joined their tour for a couple of days to hang out. And we were at some, we were killing time in Knoxville and went to a string store and found this guy who was trying to sell me a banjo. I'd always wanted one. I was like, I'm in Knoxville or Nashville. This is in Knoxville. I should get a banjo. Why not?
Absolutely.
But they were all super expensive. And then this guy was like, made it clear I wasn't going to buy one. And he came up to me with his card, and he had a cell phone number written on there. He's like, I get off work at 8. I have like a few instruments in my house. It was kind of creepy, but at the same time, you know, he just had this like genuine nature to him. He was an older guy, and you could see that he really wanted me to have a banjo. And so we left there, and we got back, and I was like, I'm going to call this guy. And the way we figured it out, I was like, if you don't hear from me in 25 minutes, like, here's the address where I'm going to. Like, call the police. This is where I'm going to be. And so I went over there, and I did end up – and like, it was funny because I didn't have any cell phone reception where I was, and I ended up staying there for a while because he had, like, these old mandolin, these old banjos, and we talked for a while. And his wife had passed away from, like, cancer or something. And see, he got to talking about that, and we just hung out for, like, a half hour and – I eventually bought this banjo off him for like $75, and
they didn't send the cavalry.
No, the cavalry did not come out. But which I was kind of mad about. I was like, thanks, guys. I could have been dead, and my friend just left me out there. But so I acquired this banjo. Long story short, and I'd always picked on them, and I haven't really gotten that like rolling pattern down or the different styles down, but I've figured out most of the chords and stuff, so I like to throw it in there whenever I can. But that was definitely a last-minute addition to the song.
What a great memory to associate with that instrument. I mean, it's so much more interesting than walking into Guitar Center and buying a $100 banjo.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That's great. There's a couple lines in this track. I've been on the sidewalk praying for some change. That's talk about that. Just talk about the song, but that line in particular. I didn't quite know where you were going with it, but it brings up some really neat visuals. Some really neat.
Yeah. Well, that song in general, I literally wrote. I did a progressive move home. Mm-hmm. You know, the least necessary stuff first, and then the last run was my bed and dresser. So like the last run before the bed and dresser run, I literally had an empty room. And I had this little Martin backpacker guitar, and because I had already taken my Taylor home. And so I'm sitting there with that, and I wrote that song just in my room, in an empty room by myself. I had my computer, made a recording of it, and listened to it. Because I have one of those jacks in my car with a cassette tape with the eighth inch out, so I put that into my computer and listened to that track over and over on the ride home, and kind of build more into it. But I'm pretty proud of that song for just how it was written. But that's that line in particular. Again, it's kind of a play on words, on the sidewalk praying for a change, and you think that you can have the image of a homeless person or someone like begging for money, but I did a few times where I just went out in Old Town Alexandria and did some busking on the side of the street just for the experience of doing it. Made like $30, but it kind of couples the images of like someone that's praying for physical change and someone you see like the fanatics on the street like they're that are you know just speaking their different philosophies and ideas about like the end of the world's coming, and everyone you know wants change in some way, shape, or form, whether it's monetary or, you know, actual, like, a movement of ideas or something. But so that was the easiest way to cover all that ground in the same time.
But
so.
That's the neat dual imagery that mm-hmm. comes out in that line is that, you know, it's obviously a transition song. It's a song
Definitely.
About it's a song about changing your life. And you can really feel that through the song about, okay, it's done. I'm ready. You know, this time is over and the new time is beginning. And that leads to another line, lived 24 years and now I'm ready to begin. It's just, you know, anybody who's older than that knows that time, that early 20s time when you go through a bunch of stuff mm-hmm. and then you realize, all right, I've got that. I've been through that.
That's got goosebumps. This is kind of weird. That's actually the hardest line for me now because I'm 26 now and I never know if I should say 24.
No, because that's the time. That's the time.
Yeah.
And believe me, looking back, I mean, people who are older have had that time. It may have been at 22. It may have been at 18. It may have been at 25. But I know where you're coming from with that.
It was, like I said before, I literally lived in Virginia for 24 months. I moved there at Thanksgiving in 2007. I moved home in Thanksgiving in 2009. It was 24 months that I was there. And then I was like, and I realized that I'm also 24 years old at that time. And it was a neat parallel because the preceding line to that is for 24 months, I've been holding up my chin, which is kind of a sad way to look back on 2 years there because I had a blast down there. I met some awesome people. I have a lot of memories I'll never forget. But at the same time, it just wasn't authentic. It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. It was like a necessary detachment from everything. And but like you're saying, you reach that point where you just need to put your foot down, and change doesn't happen on its own. You need to to be an active participant in it.
Well, the cold don't feel like the winters of my youth. The rain instead of snowing, and the wind keeps blowing blue. I've been on the sidewalk praying for some change. Got an empty cup of coffee that's just dying to be saved.
and my name is unimportant. I've grown tired of this race. Walk instead of running, never keeping up to pace. Got my share of shadows no light could ever kill. Yeah, I was born a doubter, now I'm full of doubt still.
Let's talk about a couple of albums that have been very inspiring, or even recent stuff that's just really that's really grabbed you.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a few that you couldn't live without.
Jeff Buckley, Grace.
Oh yeah,
is up there as one of my favorite albums. What he does vocally and just arranging his songs is just unparalleled, I think, to this day. The Avett Brothers were not so much their recent album, and I'll go on the record in saying that it's not their best album. I know that they played at the Grammys and everyone's loving them now. Rick Rubin did their record, congratulations. But their old stuff was so energized. The day after I graduated college, my brother called me up. I'm driving back from Baltimore, and he says, "Come to the Chameleon tonight. I got a ticket for you." I'm like, "Who is it? Like, I got to unpack. I got."
Right.
He's like, "Just come." And it was the Avett Brothers. And that was a religious experience for me. Just seeing the energy that they put forth, they turn a live performance from just them performing their songs live to like an experience. And yeah. I try to channel that energy whenever I get a chance to. But any of their albums, their old stuff, it's just most of their albums are recorded in like one takes. They play them all like live and stuff, and it's just the way their mentality, their approach to recording music has always been definitely an influence for me.
Give me one more.
I've been on a huge Justin Vernon kick these days. He's the lead singer of Bon Iver, but did some research, and his old band before Bon Iver was called D. Armand Edison. And they actually split between Justin and his other buddies. And they're all, it was an amicable split. It was a needed thing. And they formed a band called Megafon, who I'm really stoked about as well. And, but just, I dug up every solo album he's done. He's got like three solo albums. There's like two or three D. Armand Edison albums. And his abilities, his take on music is just, I don't know, out of this world to me. His voice is amazing. And I love his ability to be constant yet so different. Like, it's always Justin Vernon, but it's he really puts himself out there in different ways, which I can respect.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Man, this has been a really, really enjoyable experience to talk to you and find out, you know, what's behind these songs.
It's been a good experience for me, too, because I don't really ever get to do this. So,
well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Mike McMonagle has been actively performing in Central Pennsylvania since the beginning of 2010. To find out where you can catch Mike live, link up to his various online profiles from our website, woodstovehouse.com, where you can also listen to past episodes of the show, check show notes, or leave feedback. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes. This episode was recorded at the Candy Factory. The Candy Factory is Lancaster, Pennsylvania's premier shared workspace. Find out more at candyissweet.com. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
I'm nowhere near jaded.
Coming up on Friday, April 1st, 2011, for First Friday in Lancaster, my wife Suzanne will be opening a show of paintings at the Parrot Gallery at 328 West Orange Street in Lancaster. That show will open at 5:30 p.m. Later that evening, stop by the Candy Factory at 323 North Queen Street for an exhibit of fine art and illustration by artist Jennifer Nye. In the same building that evening will be an opening by painter John Walls at DJ Scott Galleries. Walls' artwork inspired compositions by award-winning pianist Buka Pakuna, who will be performing several pieces in the Candy Factory space from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. There are plenty of other great events happening that evening as well, so please come downtown and support the arts on First Friday, April 1st, 2011. I also have some big house concert news. To celebrate the two-year anniversary of the Woodstove House Concerts, we will be joining three other houses in Lancaster for a four-night special house concert series called Creative Homes for Creating Homes. Donations from these concerts will benefit the Tabor Home Fund, a local program by Tabor Community Services aimed at purchasing blighted properties in Lancaster City, renovating them, and making them available as affordable housing for those in need. Tabor helps people find safe and affordable housing, so we thought house concerts are a perfect way to bring some attention to Tabor and to enjoy intimate live performances in homes around the county. The first concert kicks off at the Woodstove House on Saturday, April 16th, with Lancaster favorites The Beggar Folk. This is going to be a fantastic show that will sell out fast, so make your reservations as soon as possible. Look for announcements for the other three shows, which will be held in May and June of 2011. Visit woodstovehouse.com for more information about this special concert series, and as always, thank you for listening to Around the Woodstove.